Hello, my name is Julia Whittup, and I'm an interviewer with What Should I Be? If you'd like to get more information on What Should I Be, please visit our website at whatshouldibe.me. We provide complete and free access to a wide variety of interviews spanning many different countries from all over the world. Today I'm speaking with Ignaty Diakov, and he works as a linguistic consultant. So, Ignaty, what does a linguistic consultant do?
In a nutshell, a linguistic consultant would help you to overcome barriers, language barriers you have when you enter a particular country. So in my case, it is helping British companies or indeed international companies expand in Russia and overcome barriers, language barriers, which companies might have when they deal with Russian customers or with Russian partners.
Okay, and are there also cultural barriers, I would think?
Absolutely, yes. So cross-cultural communication is also, well, we can put it, either it is a part of the language consultancy or the language consultancy is part of the bigger cultural consultancy.
Right, okay. And what can you try to explain why you felt drawn to this specific career or field?
Sure. Well, some time ago, probably over 11 years ago, I started as a teacher of languages, different languages from Latin, ancient Greek to English. And then when I relocated from Russia to London, where I live now, I started teaching Russian language. So from this, the whole concept of the company started. And that's where I understood that you can't actually teach the language outside the general cultural understanding and outside of understanding how the business works in Russia. So I put together lots of different things and different skills around the language to create the consultancy, linguistic consultancy, as I call it now. How it came up? Well, I was always intrigued in what linguistics is about, but at some point I was a little bit disappointed with what is an academic part of the linguistics. So I decided that I need more practical approaches and more practical things to do in my life. And that's why I started dealing with the languages in their applications towards business life.
Uh-huh, okay. And what sort of educational or experience requirements did you have to have? Excuse me.
Since I'm working in adult education, the rules are not as strict as when you work with children. Mm-hmm. Yes. I personally have a master's degree in linguistics, and then I did my PhD in African studies as well. So with this in mind, I have enough qualifications to understand how languages work. And then through practice and through real work, I gained the knowledge how to train people, how to teach them the languages, and tailor the programs to each particular client of mine.
Okay, huh. All right. And what age did you first decide that this is what you wanted to do with your life?
Well, I graduated from school when I was 17. And at that point, when I entered the university, I straight entered the linguistics department. But at that point, as I mentioned, I thought I would become an academic and I would go the whole route of doing my master's and then PhD and then probably staying within the academia. However, at the point of doing master's program, I understood that probably I need something more practical and something you can really do helping other people rather than just sit within the academic roots.
Uh-huh. Okay. And how did you happen to move to London? Because that was where the clients were?
Well, it was quite a spontaneous decision 5 years ago when I had my small business back in Russia and I sold it in 2008. So I needed a little bit of a time to understand what I want to do next in my life. Mm-hmm. So I decided to change my career path, and I enrolled on the master's program at University College London. But I did economics at this point. So it wasn't linguistics anymore, it was economics, which is quite strange considering my previous career and educational background. And after a year, when I graduated with my second master's degree, I realized that actually I want to stay in training, I want to stay in education, but I want to be broader. And that's where the idea of consultancy came in. And I just stayed in London for doing this.
All right. And how do you find clients?
Various ways. Depending on the service again, I mean, we offer a number of services now. Language training is only part of it. Cross-cultural training is another offering of ours. But we also offer translation and interpreting. And we also offer consultancy for companies which move to Russia. We do business partner matching and accompanying on visits to Russia. So all of these different things. And clients would come through various means. Either I would talk at different events and try to inspire people to export to Russia, to move to Russia, or former clients of mine would recommend me. And through referrals, actually, a number of our clients have come to us. Or indeed, it is just internet and online search engine optimization, as they call it, would help a lot. Our websites are quite high on Google. And that's where the third group of our clients would come.
Okay. And is it possible someone from the United States, say, could do what you're doing, only do it in Russia? Teaching?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I know several, we could say competitors or rivals who would do the same being based in the US. But the market is big, right? And we need people in different locations geographically to do the same thing. And obviously everyone would introduce their twists, and they would introduce their way of doing things. But absolutely, it doesn't matter where you're based. You can be in Latin America, you can be in the US, you can be in Asia. But as long as you know the Russian culture, and as long as you know your own culture and how your compatriots see the Russian market, or indeed Russians in general, that's where you can bring your own expertise. It took me quite some time to understand how British business works, and what is the challenge for them when they come to Russian market. And I appreciate that the American business works in an absolutely different way.
Yes.
So in this sense, somebody who knows how to run business in the US and at the same time knowing how the business is run in Russia, they can definitely succeed in this.
And I assume it would work like India to United States or South America.
Absolutely.
You would just be the same thing as long as you're bilingual.
Exactly. As long as you're bilingual, but more importantly, as long as you're flexible and you're eager to develop skill, communication skills, and develop the ability to understand how people in another country work, live, and you know, deal with different challenges they have. So absolutely, as you said, it can work in pairs for different countries. And actually, it can work two ways. My business now is just one way from Britain, or indeed from outside of Russia towards Russian market. But there are companies which work from the Russian market outside, outwards.
Outwards.
And they will be based not only in Russia. They will be based in the US or in the UK indeed. And somebody, bright entrepreneur than me, probably will be able to arrange the two-way stream, being based in the US, for example, and making sure that Russians coming to the US are comfortable in setting up business in the US, hence providing employment opportunities and all the benefits to the American society, but at the same time helping American companies get to the Russian market, export to the Russian market, and again, building up and developing their own business, providing better options for the society around them.
Right. Wow. Okay. And what do you like the best about what you do, about your field?
I guess for me, it is this social cause. It is a business, and by all means, I want to earn my living. My wife definitely requires this, but at the same time, I strongly feel that it's a social business. If I help companies get to the Russian market, I help both the Russian consumers get a good quality product from the UK or indeed from some other countries, because I work also with Luxembourg, with France, with China, Hong Kong. These products are not available in the Russian market. I bring this to them and make people happy. But at the same time, I help international businesses, mostly small and medium-sized businesses, to succeed and to develop, and again, to employ people, to provide them better solutions for their own living. And it's a great feeling when you know that you help people around you,
yeah,
that you don't just rip them off.
And help
that's
them
probably
get,
what I... Yeah.
Help them get new markets, too.
Exactly, exactly.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's really the feeling which, you know, keeps me going. And even at some points when it is challenging, I mean, business is always challenging. And you have ups and downs, and your mood can change. But at this point, you have to remember, you know, why you are doing this.
And so, what was the most difficult or challenging thing you've had to deal with?
Well, the most challenging thing is to find clients and to make sure that they get the idea of why they need to get to the foreign markets.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But then once you've done it for, you know, for a number of people, then you can obviously feel much better and much more confident, and then you start building your business and growing it.
Is there any opportunities to get just a job in a field like this, but not have to have a consultancy?
Well, I mean, my consultancy is growing, and I have to find people with the right skills and with the right approach who would work alongside me, right, without any responsibility for the business in general, which I have,
mm-hmm.
But still developing their skills in the field of linguistic consultancy, absolutely. I know of a number of companies which would require employees with a variety of skills and with a, you know, certain knowledge to work for them.
That'd be good. And what could someone expect to make in an entry-level position like that?
Well, it's hard to say, especially since the salary levels, I guess, in the US and in the UK are different. It will be hard for me to say something relevant
uh-huh.
for the US market. In the UK, it would vary, but it will be decent money. I would say it will be good money for graduates or indeed for those who decide to go for it. But it really depends on the person.
And could someone with a bachelor's degree get a job in this area?
Yes. I mean, I occasionally find part-time people with bachelor's degree, bilingual people speaking fluently English and Russian, with certain skills like communication skills, a bit of probably sales and marketing skills, who would do work for me. Absolutely. So there is no restriction in terms of your education, as long as you have the soft skills which you need. And in the market as it is now, I strongly believe it is not only your education which helps you in you know, to get into the job.
Uh-huh.
It's more your how you behave, what you know, what sort of person you are, what you can bring to the company in terms of your soft skills rather than your knowledge. There are so much now on the internet that you can just get this information, but the knowledge of how to get it and the knowledge how to communicate it to your customers or to your team as well, that's what is important.
And that's what you mean by soft skills?
That's, yeah, probably that's what I would mean.
Okay. All right. So, and what do you like least about your work?
I guess as many entrepreneurs, I don't quite appreciate the fact that I have to be responsible for every single aspect of my business. There are things which I enjoy doing. I communicating with my clients, doing research, teaching the language. I'm still teaching the language, to a certain extent. But there are things like bookkeeping. There are things like, doing marketing, doing even search engine optimization and controlling all these things. That's what probably sometimes makes me feel bad, because it takes time, takes energy, but it should be done. So entrepreneurs, it has to be done, yes. Entrepreneurs have to be responsible for everything in their own business. They can't miss any single detail in it. And that's probably what differentiates them from employees.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. Then I'm not saying that it is not exciting. It is exciting.
Could you tell us in a bit of detail, what's a typical week like for you?
I mean, I know that it is a very common phrase saying that not every week is typical. But, I would say that generally it consists of meetings with potential clients, networking at different events, making sure that you understand what's happening around you. Networking with other business people, entrepreneurs, seeing what motivates them, what challenges they have, in front of them, and therefore learning from them as well, and trying to tailor your own business. Then you would definitely do some proper work which earns you money, which is consultancy, market research, talking to potential partners for your clients in Russia. I would also oversee the group of translators who work for me and make sure that they're happy with the work they're doing, and that I can clearly communicate what the client wants from them. I would also talk to my tutors team and make sure that everything is fine in this area, and I would teach myself as well, around 10 to 15 hours a week, making sure that I understand how things are going there. I would spend some time doing bookkeeping and doing something required to make sure that the tax office is happy. And the final note, I'm also writing my textbooks, so I would try to spend some time every week writing my language textbooks.
So you're writing language textbooks for teaching Russian as a second language.
That's right. Yes. So I've just published my first book, and I'm preparing the audio version, and I'm working on the second edition, and at the same time I'm writing the continuation of the story.
Oh, okay. So you're a busy guy.
Yeah, it might seem so. Indeed.
What would someone do? I mean, what were the steps they would take if they wanted to do something like you do? Just let's say someone who's in college but hasn't decided what they want to do.
I would start with researching what it involves. Yeah, what is this work about? And trying to find your niche. It might take quite some time to understand your niche, and my niche is not ideal, right? I would say that you can even tune it even further, but it really depends on your own personality. But I would make this research, and then I would start implementing certain steps in the sense of, if you are good in teaching, try to teach the language, Try to approach one or two students who would be interested in this and see how it works. You are good in translation, go and do some translation work. Even if it is for free, even if it is just for small amount of money, try it. Mm-hmm. Try to do the best you can and deliver it, and hence build your portfolio portfolio of your clients. And if you are fine with consulting work, try to find even an apprenticeship or any internship in a company which is doing consultancy. It might not be just linguistic consultancy. It can be general general consultancy to understand how this business works.
Uh-huh.
Try basically all these ideas about getting the first skills you will need, the basic skills you will need to do this work, and at the same time building portfolio so that then you could brand yourself, so that then you can deliver this message to your real big client when the time comes, saying, I've done this and I've done that, and I know how to do the best for you as my client. And this will help a lot. But it will also help you understand whether it is the right thing for you to do or not.
Yeah. And did you do an internship or anything like that?
I've done it. I didn't do internships, but I've done a lot of volunteering. When I was at university, I was actually the head of the Student Scientific Society, first of my department, and then for the whole university. Okay. And that's what helped me understand how events management works, how things work in terms of communicating with people, consulting them, how to find funding for the projects we were running, how to publish books as well. And then I've done quite a lot of language teaching on a pro bono basis, on a free basis, which helped me to build my training skills.
Okay.
So volunteering, and it was also a good thing because you not only learn how to do certain work, but you also do something positive for the people around you.
That's a nice thing to do.
Indeed.
Okay, and what tips or suggestions would you share with anyone who might be thinking about this career?
Just try it.
Just try. Go and, okay.
Go and try, yes. And then you will see whether it is for you or what else you might need to get to succeed in this career. But first it is just don't be afraid to try.
How about magazines and books? Do you have anything you can recommend?
I normally try to read things in Forbes about entrepreneurship and business. I would also go for the website called Under 30 CEO, which also is full of lots of stories by young entrepreneurs about how they build their businesses.
And then I will Under 30 what?
Under 30 CEO.
Okay.
I would also read, I'm not sure I can name right now other websites which I read, but I have my Twitter, which is full of journalists and people working in the business area, entrepreneurs, who would share their ideas, who would share their knowledge. And I would constantly read these things as well.
Uh-huh.
So I would definitely recommend reading something about entrepreneurs, especially if it is young entrepreneurs, because that's what can inspire you. In terms of reading books, I'm a little bit more skeptical because the books are good for learning. They're not good for inspiring.
Right.
And to start with, you need to be inspired. Okay. And then you will understand what you need to do, and you will go to buy certain books.
Okay, and let's see, what else might somebody want to know? What, I think I asked you what the beginning salary was in that field.
Yes, but as I said, I mean, it can vary, really. It can vary from, you know, £16,000 to £24,000 in the UK. But again, it might be different in other countries.
Okay. And if you were starting and you knew right away this is what you wanted to do, what things would you do differently than you did the first time?
Most probably I will just read more about entrepreneurship. Most probably I would put right processes in place straight away in terms of organizing and structuring business rather than just doing things as they were, because now I spend quite some time trying to make sure that all the processes are in line in business. So I would think that spending more time on this at the very beginning would save me a lot of time and energy now.
Afterwards, what about the degrees? Would you get that many degrees?
In terms of education?
Well, you have two masters and a PhD.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a good experience.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it, and I would do it for the sake of degrees. It doesn't help you in business directly. However, all this experience is important. Your life experience is important. How you lived, what you've done in your life, in your childhood. These all things, you know, they definitely help you build your profile and build your personality, hence bringing these skills, knowledge, and understanding of the world around you for the benefit of your clients.
Uh-huh.
So, no, I wouldn't change anything.
You wouldn't? Okay. What did you do as a really young child, like, say, 12 or 13, that is still helping you today?
I guess I was just curious about everything. So I studied a lot. I wasn't the best student in my class, never ever. But I studied. I did lots of things around after school, after classes. I would be involved in music, in chess, in modeling ships, etc. So lots of things to be curious about. And then understanding what is actually there in all this for me.
So I would say, just
extracurricular things. Just be curious, be you know, adventurous in a sense. Don't mourn about not having time. Just spend this time doing different things and then choose what you like most. But at least you know why you don't like things and why you like some other things. That would be my advice.
Because you've tried it.
That's right.
Okay. Did you try some other things first?
Like what?
Oh, I don't know. Like, did you ever have a job that you disliked?
Well, I mean, I've always been an entrepreneur, probably, in a sense. And I've always been in training and in teaching, etc. I can't say I disliked any particular work.
Okay.
What I would do differently, maybe I would be just more consistent in what I was doing. But generally speaking, no, I wouldn't change anything in this sense.
That's good. You feel that way. Okay. What can you think of anything that I haven't asked you that you think that people should know about?
Life-work balance, probably.
Like
just
what?
Just make sure, like life-work balance.
Yes.
Just to make sure that you don't forget about living your life rather than just working all the time.
Okay.
Or at least working on things which you enjoy doing so that you don't feel that you are working, actually. Feeling that you are just doing what you love.
And therefore so it's not
important.
Work.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, any final tips?
I like the words by the philosopher James Lowell Russell, who says that not failure but low aim is a crime. And I strongly believe he is right in this. So my advice to anyone would be try.
And aim.
Even if you fail, most importantly it is that you try things.
So aim high.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today.
And thank you.
We will see your profile on our website.
Excellent. Thank you. And I look forward to watching myself.
Thank you.